City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We are talking mega gay.
Oh, I like that.
I'm Coleman Domingo.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 344. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Coleman Domingo from the Great Big Apple.
You are crunch, taking a big bite out of the apple.
That's right.
There is probably no place more beautiful than where you are and where I am to be spending the holiday season.
I know, right?
We have two fabulous cities. What do you have, a favorite tradition or something that just sings Christmas to you about that city or the holidays?
Yes. Well, the thing that I'm going to do, actually, hopefully in the next week, is to go ice skating, probably in Rockefeller Center, which would be so fantastic. That's so quintessentially New York.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. And then go by some good little cafe, maybe in the West Village, for a hot cocoa.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the thing that I always do is that I always go around and I look at all the displays at Barney's and Saks Fifth Avenue and Macy's. I love the window displays. That's like such a great thing. Usually, if Raul and I are around on Christmas Eve, that's what we usually do on Christmas Eve. We walk around and just look at all the Christmas displays.
It's truly a beautiful city. You know, I have a friend that I know who has really spending her first Christmas here. And I remember my first Christmas here in Chicago, working downtown, and when they lit up Michigan Avenue. And as well, I remember at that time, Marshall Field's windows all lit up and animated with the marionettes. And now in later years, you know, we have our skating rink at Millennium Park. So people skating along Millennium Park. And I just love the neighborhood thing of, you know, Kelly and I had our anniversary this weekend, and
visions.
Yeah, I know. You and I, the two couples, Coleman and Raul and Amy and Kelly, very close together 5 years ago. But I love just walking into a grocery store and the smell of fresh wreaths and clippings of pine and cedar to pick up, you know, there at the grocery store. Just how it's just fragrant in the air. I just love it. And it's been very cold here. It's warming up a tad, but I think across the country, across the nation, there's been this winter surge.
Yeah, it's been incredibly cold, like unbelievable. Yeah, everyone in New York has been wrapped up like ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one place where it's not cold has the biggest news of the week, which is Texas. Anise Parker, she is an openly gay public official. She won the final mayoral election race in Houston this past weekend. Wow. She became the first openly gay person to serve as mayor of a major city in the United States. And holy shit, it happened in Houston. I mean, who can believe that, right?
I know. That's the thing that's blowing my mind. I think it's pretty fantastic.
Well, you know, and what's cool is that Houston, the statistic that's out there says that makes her, Anise Parker, the head of the fourth largest populated city in the country.
Wow.
So that's impressive.
We're moving to Houston.
We're moving to Houston. Maybe that's where Oprah and Gail will go. They just toggle between the White House and Houston, Texas. Did you watch Oprah's White House special?
I didn't. I totally didn't. I missed it.
You know, I love the White House at Christmas time. D.C. is another beautiful city at Christmas time, but it has beautiful, more beautiful times of year, like cherry blossom time of year and other times of year. But
I'm so terrible. I never like keep up with a TV schedule. I like, I hear something's coming on and then I just totally miss it.
Well, I know that you have portrayed Miss Winfrey on the Big Gay Sketch Show. Is it going to be a sad day for her to leave the airwaves, the Oprah Winfrey Show? What will it do to our country? Will we implode?
Will we implode? I'm not so sure. You know what? No, I hope not. But, you know, I think that, like, I think it's, I feel personally I'm ready for her to retire too, or to do something else, because I think, I mean, who can just do the same thing? I mean, she's been branching off into so many other things, but it's like, you know, we all must transform and change, and the world has changed, and you know, she's older. I'm sure she wants to, who knows, maybe she needs to just relax and enjoy some of her money.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think she's going to launch a damn empire. It's like, one show's not enough. I'm going to have...
I think she's going to launch another network. Like, I think it would be kind of cool if she launches a news network.
Oh, in addition to her big Oprah Winfrey network that she is doing?
Yeah, I think like a CNN. It should be like,
oh wow,
yeah,
that would be hilarious.
It'd be cool. ONN.
And there's a tsunami. I mean, you know,
exactly. Everything she yells, everything. There's a tsunami.
I think she's like missing her calling in the WWF, like for World Wrestling Federation or something.
She's getting that shit out on air. Just
like... what is you know, it's been such a gift to have gay comedy and a gay perspective on the Big Gay Sketch Show. What is the status on that? Have you all filmed another season?
We filmed another season. The new season is coming out on March 2010.
Excellent.
So March is coming out, and they've been putting up previews of the shows on our logo online, so you can check them out there. And it's really, I think it's actually the funniest season. And also they held our episodes because Logo will now, I don't know if everybody knows this, but Logo will now be a rated network.
Ah.
You know, so we'll be getting Nielsen ratings and things like that. So, you know, more advertising dollars, and you know, it's in there with the big boys now.
You know?
Yeah.
Is it the same cast for the Big Gay Sketch Show or any new players?
Same cast, except we're missing Erica Ash, because Erica Ash moved over to Mad TV. Mm-hmm. But then of course, as we know, Mad TV completely just hit the shits right after she moved over to Mad TV. So sad for her. And she's so great and so funny, and I'm sure she's going to keep finding more and more gigs. But so it's just the cast went down by a number, but I ended up playing even more women.
What is it that they think that you need to play all the women?
I have no idea, Amy. You think I do women so well.
Are we going to see a return of the Maya Angelou?
Absolutely. You'll see the return of no less than 8 Maya Angelou sketches.
Wow.
I know, isn't that something?
Now, are these things that you help write, or how do you all work in conjunction with?
You know, well, we have pitch sessions, and in the beginning of each season, I sit in a room with the writers, the head writer, and we just talk about all the ideas of things that I'm interested in doing. Mm-hmm. Or things that I think, you know, and I'm telling them all these different ideas, or I came up with different stories, et cetera, et cetera. And usually all of them goes on the cutting room floor. Mm-hmm. No, because they
have their own.
They have their ideas, which are great too. But but basically you pitch a lot of stories, and hopefully some of them stick, especially with whatever agenda that they're working on for the season. And this season is trying to play to a bit more, I want to say to a bit more commercial appeal, but mm-hmm. I think they are very specific still, and still very, very, very much gay humor. But I think that they're trying to really, I mean, there's only 2 sketch shows on TV now, SNL and our show. So I think that we're trying to appeal to a broader audience.
Yeah.
But stay true to ours as well.
So are the Obamas, or is Obama too sacred to spoof?
He's, you know what? I pitched Obama and Michelle, we did not fly with that.
Yeah.
I don't know, because, but something about, I guess maybe it's not, I don't know. No one can really find the humor in that. You know, they're not sacred. I think that they're just, where's the humor with them at the moment? You know, I can't find it, to be honest.
Oh, I can find it. I think Wanda Sykes found it, let me tell you.
She totally did. Yes, exactly.
But the thing of it is that if you were going to hold it, things changes with him day by day, minute by minute. So it's kind of hard to keep that not temporal.
Right, exactly. And that's the thing about the comedy of Big Gay Sketch Show, because I think if you notice that all the, most of the sketches are very, they should be able to be played 10 years from now and people can understand. They're like not timely.
Right.
Not like SNL, their first sketch is always of what's happening in the moment. Like
right.
Last week. Our show is not like that at all. Ours is like being packaged so it can be played, you know, like Brady Bunch. It can be played, you know, 20 years from now and people are like, they still get the humor.
The Brady Bunch. Well, let me tell you, the news of 2009 could only be the news of 2009. And in our next, before the year's out, we are going to continue to do a series of year in review shows. And our first one is today, where Tracy Baim, the publisher of Windy City Times and her own gay media mogul, sits down with me and we talk about what were the big stories in entertainment and celebrity in 2009. We also talk about another big story of 2009, which is the change in media. I mean, we've been podcasting for a while, but really this seems to be the year that newspapers folded. Everyone was Twittering and Facebooking. You know, the new resources, MySpace, changed into something different. And the entire world seems to be about social media and how we're getting our news is changing and our stories. So Tracy Baim on with me on the show. We've got more news besides Anise Parker in Houston with Kirk Williamson. And then we'll be back with Coleman Domingo here on the Queercast.
See you in a minute.
Hi there. I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
And I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
You know, most people know that Miller Lite tastes great, but up until now, only brewmasters like me knew why.
Well, most people know that my friends and I are the most dominating presence in the Kalamazoo Western Division Level 3 Softball League, but very few know why.
Huh. You see, we add the hops first for flavor, second for balance, and a third time to lock in the great Pilsner taste by enhancing the foamy head.
Yeah, well, we don't need fancy softball strategery to win.
We call it the triple hops brewing process.
Well, we call it heart, Mr. Man.
We're on the same team here. I thought you would appreciate this new information.
I apologize. I just wish I had something as important to share.
Well, buy a six-pack of Miller Lite and you will.
Miller Lite brewmasters have to know the ins and outs of triple hops brewing. The only thing you have to do is enjoy the great-tasting light beer. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. A marriage equality bill vote that was slated to take place December 10th in the New Jersey Senate was canceled. Democratic Senators Raymond Lesniak and Loretta Weinberg, the measure's sponsors, withdrew the bill from the agenda. They said they want the bill heard first in the General Assembly, where support for marriage equality is believed to be stronger.
A Rutgers Eagleton poll has revealed that more than half of New Jersey's Catholics either favor or are undecided about same-sex marriage. 48% said they support gay marriage, while 40% opposed it and 12% were unsure. 56% of Jewish respondents said they supported same-sex marriage, while only 35% of Protestants felt the same way.
After being accused of quietly supporting Uganda's proposed anti-gay bill, the Reverend Rick Warren recorded a YouTube video in which he described the measure as unjust, extreme, and unchristian towards homosexuals. Warren said that he was never involved with the bill and advocated respect for gays, but added that he is against same-sex marriage.
In California, the State Assembly's Democratic Caucus has chosen John Perez as Assembly Speaker. If confirmed, he will be the first openly gay person in that position.
Juan Martinez Matos, who is charged with killing 19-year-old Puerto Rican Jorge Steven Lopez Mercado, has been ordered to undergo a mental evaluation. The next pretrial hearing is scheduled for January 13, 2010.
Jim Gray, the openly gay vice mayor of Lexington, Kentucky, will run for mayor next year. Gray, who will compete against former mayor Teresa Isaac and current mayor Jim Newberry, said that his decision is related to the city's current climate and its potential, adding that he and Newberry have clashed on a variety of issues.
In Florida, 16-year-old Tia Wimberly has been convicted of second-degree murder after shooting a female classmate last year who rejected her advances. Wimberly killed Amanda Collette, 15, after the victim rejected Wimberly's text messages. Wimberly told police that she shot Collette so she would feel pain, too.
In California, 62-year-old Texan Gerald Metcalf faced a jury 38 years after he allegedly murdered a gay man in San Diego. Metcalf is accused of stabbing Gerald Jackson in 1971 after the victim picked up the alleged killer. Jackson ended up being stabbed 61 times in his own apartment. Metcalf's lawyer told a jury that Jackson admitted to the killing, but that the issue is his client's state of mind. Metcalf was allegedly diagnosed with schizophrenia years ago.
In world news, the 19th International AIDS Conference will be held in Washington, D.C. in July of 2012. The IAS Governing Council decided to hold AIDS 2012 in the nation's capital following President Barack Obama's October announcement that the nation would end its entry restrictions on HIV-positive individuals effective January 4, 2010. The conference was last held in the United States in 1990 in San Francisco.
Austria's parliament has approved a civil union bill for same-sex couples. The measure gives gay and lesbian couples most of the same rights as heterosexual couples, except that same-sex couples cannot utilize in vitro or artificial insemination and cannot adopt children. The law will take effect January 1st.
Uganda's much-maligned anti-gay legislative proposal has become a bit less harsh. A revised version of the measure will drop life imprisonment and the death penalty as forms of punishment. On October 14th, lawmaker David Bahati introduced the original bill, which made life in prison and death punishments for same-sex relations in certain situations.
Argentina has named a trans individual as its Distinguished Woman of 2009. The annual prize went to artist, activist Marcela Romero, age 45, who recently prevailed in a decade-long legal fight to be recognized as female.
In England, the Trades Union Congress, along with other British sports and GLBT organizations, wants to eliminate homophobia from soccer. Justin Fashanu, the only soccer player to come out, subsequently committed suicide. There are currently no out players in soccer.
In entertainment news, GLAAD president Jarrett Barrios said that his organization handled the Adam Lambert ABC controversy poorly. GLAAD originally allied with the network when it removed Lambert following his American Music Awards performance.
Gay icon Liza Minnelli quietly settled a sexual harassment lawsuit brought by former chauffeur Mohamed Soumaya. The party settled on November 13th, 4 days before Minnelli was supposed to testify in court. The terms of the agreement are confidential, but Soumaya earned $283,000 annually.
Gay brothers Dan and Sam McMillan were runners-up in the latest chapter of TV's The Amazing Race. San Diego couple Megan Rickey and Shane Whitney won the CBS show's 15th installment.
Actor Colin Firth has said that gay actors still face limits. Firth, who is 49 and stars in the upcoming film A Single Man as a gay professor and who has played a sexually ambiguous individual in the 1986 movie Apartment Zero, said, "If you're a straight actor who takes on the role of a gay man, it's obviously not the same as being one in the business. I think there are still some constraints against being openly gay. It is to do with whatever sexual taboos are in place. There are not a lot of openly gay leading men."
Next year's Lilith Fair tour will offer something for everyone. Co-founder Sarah McLachlan will perform along with veterans Erica Badu, Tegan and Sarah, Emmylou Harris, Sheryl Crow, and the Indigo Girls. Newcomers include Mary J. Blige, Corinne Bailey-Ray, Sarah Bareilles, and Miranda Lambert. See LilithFair.com for cities on the tour.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Richard Knight Jr. with another Night at the Movies Minute. Jean-Marc Vallée, the French-Canadian director of 2005's gay film festival fave, Crazy, returns with his sophomore effort as Young Victoria. The film, which stars British actress Emily Blunt, who got her start in the hot lesbian romance My Summer of Love and broke through with The Devil Wears Prada and Sunshine Cleaning, focuses on the 17-year-old Queen Victoria and the backstage drama that attended her ascension to the throne. Victoria's widowed mother, played by Miranda Richardson, is under the spell of her conniving but sexy brother-in-law, Mark Strong, playing yet another baddie, who covets the throne for himself and has placed so many constraints on Victoria that she's not even allowed to walk down the stairs unescorted. Everyone scheming behind the polite smiles and stifling social rituals of life at court, especially about who will win Vicky's hand in marriage and whether or not the old cantankerous king, played by Jim Broadbent, who is having a whale of a good time chewing up the scenery, will name her as his next in line. The German Prince Albert, who is played by handsome Rupert Friend, has the inside track, though the chemistry is apparent when the two meet. The road to royal love is filled with a few bumps here and there. The young Victoria offers the expected gorgeous spectacle. Such a storyline promises, with lavish sets, costumes, locations, good acting work from Blunt and Friend in the title roles, top-flight supporting actors, and even the inclusion of the Duchess of York, Sarah Ferguson, on board as one of the film's producers. But the early scenes of royal intrigue have prepared viewers for some theatrical fireworks, none of which happen. Though the film has Cate Blanchett's Elizabeth beat in the visual splendor department, there's nothing quite as dramatically thrilling here, and the obstacles, once identified, are easily sidestepped. Like Victoria herself, this first of what may be three or four movies, she ruled the monarchy for a really long time, is a very proper film that wouldn't presume to misbehave with an ounce of unnecessary melodrama and abandon. We are amused and entertained by the young Victoria, but not terribly so. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda, composer and lyricist of the Broadway show In the Heights. In the Heights is a show about life in the city. People like you and me, living and working and dreaming big. The music has salsa, merengue, hip-hop. This stuff has never been on Broadway before. Winning the Tony Award for Best Musical and a Grammy for the album, it's an amazing feeling when your dreams come true.
Now playing through January 3rd at the Cadillac Palace Theater. For tickets, visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of December 14th, 2009, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. You met him as George Gershwin in George Gershwin Alone, then as Frederick Chopin. Now Hershey Felder returns to Chicago as the greatest composer of them all, Ludwig von Beethoven, in Beethoven as I Knew Him, featuring some of the composer's most well-known works. Don't miss Beethoven as I Knew Him, playing now through December 20th at Drury Lane Water Tower Place. For tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com.
You're invited to a marvelous party. Writers Theater presents the musical comedy review, Oh Coward. Acclaimed director Jim Cordy brings Noel Coward's effervescent music, quips, and wit to life. Be transported to a 1930s nightclub for a must-see evening of the most memorable tunes of the 20th century. Tickets are selling quickly. Order yours today at writerstheater.org.
David Bowie's Christmas Special 1977, back for a second straight season. Cap off a visit to the Macy's Windows and Chris Kindlemarked with a trip to the Spiders from Mars space station. Playing now, Fridays and Saturdays through December 19th at 11 p.m. at National Pastime Theater, 4139 North Broadway. Tickets are only $15. Visit nmtchicago.org for reservations and info.
Million Dollar Quartet is a hit, raves the Chicago Tribune. On December 4th, 1956, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, and Elvis Presley played together for the first and only time. Relive that night with the new rock and roll musical, Million Dollar Quartet. For tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com. And it's now extended through March 28th at the Apollo Theater.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hey, this is Cindy Lauper. Big shout out to Windy City Clearcast.
Santa baby, slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby. I'm hurried down the chimney tonight. Little baby, an outer space convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year, I could be oh so good if you'll check.
So 2009, we look back to the year that was in entertainment and also the new trends and what's happening in media. And it's definitely been an exciting and ever-changing year. Some great advances and some setbacks, which we will be talking about, here at the end of the year in all of our shows. But I'm really excited to be talking with the publisher of Windy City Times and my boss and just extraordinaire filmmaker, now producer, writer, and publisher, Tracy Baim. Hey, Tracy.
Hi there.
It's been I don't think we've had you on in a really long time.
Yeah, I have much better voice for newsprint.
Oh, that's not true. That's not true. I've been hearing you've been giving a lot of interviews. And let's just kind of start there. The trends in new media, which is now how we're finding out, especially about breaking news stories and hot topics. Is newspaper dead, and what are the new trends in media that you're seeing really come alive?
Well, you know, newspapers aren't dead yet, but the way that people receive their newspapers is changing just at a quickening pace. It's just incredible. 5 years ago, a lot of people predicted the end of newsprint, and mm-hmm. it hasn't happened yet. But I do feel like newspapers and media companies that do not adapt are going to die off. And one of the things that we've always done is try to stay ahead of the curve, at least in terms of gay media. So we've been online since the mid-1990s.
Right.
We just launched an iPhone application. We have been on Facebook and Twitter and all those social media sites. In order, all of them have the end game of getting people back to our website. And a lot of gay media are doing that now, and those that do and adapt quickly are going to survive.
So let's talk about, obviously, kind of the biggest end-of-year gay media story, which was the shutting of the doors of Window Media. What was Window Media, for people who don't know, and what do you think led to that moment?
Window Media was the first attempt, and really the only attempt so far, to consolidate regional gay print media. It started in the late 1990s, early 2000s, where they purchased a few gay media like Washington Blade and Southern Voice and some other smaller titles. And the problem with that, using that as an example of what's going on in the mainstream and gay media, is that their story is much more complicated because they created these huge funding schemes where they were getting loans guaranteed and raised millions of dollars from investors in the federal government, SBA loans. And they really just ran that company into the ground. And so them closing Window Media, which meant the Washington Blade closed down after 40 years, really was parallel tracks. One was that it certainly is, there's a decrease in ads in gay media, but also that they had this real arrogance about how they approached the business model of gay newspapers. And they really gouged and took a lot of money out of the media and put a lot of debt on the company that the companies couldn't survive.
So basically the national model of what's happening with the national economic instability.
It's very similar to what the Tribune, Sam Zell's done with the Tribune. He put this massive debt at a much larger scale than the gay media, but it's the same formula where they were able to leverage and get a lot of debt, and the company, the advertising, couldn't support the debt.
Now, we hear that The Advocate is going to be no more. Is this true? I mean, Advocate out, these monthly magazines, these, we've been around now, Windy City Times, for 25 years, going into 25 years. But these are magazines that have been around since the very beginning of the movement.
Mm-hmm. The Advocate was started in the late 1960s, and they went to a monthly format recently from a biweekly. And they're part of another consolidation of gay media with Gay.com, Planet Out, Here TV, Regent Media, and
Out Magazine
as well. And so Advocate's sort of not going away technically, but as a standalone publication available at newsstands, it is. It's going to be wrapped up into Out Magazine. It's going to have a much more of an online presence than a print presence. But that's the direction all media are going. So hopefully the Advocate brand itself, the history of its being a strong news gathering organization, won't go away. They have some excellent reporters, including a Washington, D.C.-based reporter covering Obama. So we'll see how that's going to shake out. But it is quite sad with Advocate and Washington Blade being two of the most prominent gay news brands going through this turmoil.
Well, and it's interesting. I think more will be seen in 2010. It will be quite an interesting year to see if anybody can capitalize on this new media, on social media, on television and film, on the internet. I mean, where do we really gain the dollars? Because that's going to keep the level of, eventually, the quality is going to erode once everyone enters the market and no one is earning you know, a dollar for the product. I mean, it just can't sustain, it seems like. So are we at that time, do you think, 2010?
2010, we'll see a huge shakeout in gay media because people have been waiting to see if, even if the economy recovers in any way at all, if that will translate to survival for gay media and mainstream media. And I don't think it will. I think that advertisers and marketing people have adapted to this new economy, and so they're not going to spend the kind of money they used to spend in media.
Yeah.
So you have to adapt and figure out another way to survive.
Yeah. Well, speaking of surviving, there are some stories that will echo on throughout the year from 2009, and very excited to have you here to talk with about those and kind of what are the big, I guess, entertainment or celebrity GLBT stories of the year. I'm going to start with something that started kind of in 2008, what I call the rise of three women who I think have really... you know, the embers were there in 2008, and 2009 was truly their year. And those are Rachel Maddow, Wanda Sykes, and Lady Gaga. you know, all of these are women. I could probably add to this Neil Patrick Harris, but we'll talk about him in just a minute. But Lady Gaga, obviously, here for our Gay Idol event. And what a, just a rocket. I mean, she's not gay, but she's probably the queerest artist that's come out in a really long time.
You know, she is fascinating. And I think in watching her on TV last night in the Grammy Awards nomination show, which was quite strange, she was on Jay Leno earlier this week. And I think that what's great about her is she is not afraid of politics. Mm-hmm. A lot of artists are really afraid of stepping their toe into politics, no matter which side of the aisle they're on. And Lady Gaga showed up at the March on Washington and the HRC Gala. Mm-hmm. How many artists can straddle those two worlds of our movement and get away with it?
Mm-hmm.
So I am really impressed with her staying true to that. She's starting to show her face more, which I think is a very deliberate act, so that her identity is going to be even more clear for people. She's not afraid of what she looks like. She's not afraid of kind of being a face of a queer movement, even if she's only tangentially part of it. So I really
You know, people were saying that she was a hermaphrodite, that she was trans. I mean, all these stories coming out because she seems so otherworldly that the mainstream world doesn't know how else to label her.
Right.
And I don't think she shirked from that.
No.
I mean, she kind of laughed at it and just did something else more shocking. My prediction, folks, for whoever is listening to this 10 years from now, is that she will eclipse Madonna. I think she will eclipse kind of the artistry and political savvy and identity shifting of Madonna. That's my prediction. Wanda Sykes seemed to kind of come out in 2008, 2009. We see the continuation of New Adventures of Old Christine, her one-woman show on HBO, her appearance at Obama's congressional dinner or press dinner, and now this talk show, which is not very good, but at least she's got one. You know, who would have thought an African-American woman over a particular age and lesbian would have this happen in our community?
You know, I've loved Wanda Sykes, and she used to do NFL commentaries on the sidelines, and I was just like, who is this woman? And, and I couldn't believe it. And when she decided to come out last year because of when Prop 8 failed in California, I thought that was a very bold step for her because her audience is made up of a great diversity of U.S. citizens. So I would say that was a more of a risk for her than certain other folks like Ellen DeGeneres and Rosie O'Donnell. So I love Wanda Sykes. I love her humor. Her HBO special was fascinating recently. I think she needs a talk show on HBO, though. She can't be constrained to network restraints on language and topics.
Yep.
So she really needs more freedom than that.
Yeah, I agree. But more will be seen of her. Rachel Maddow, you know, was really kind of the pinnacle at last year. Right around the election, but she seems to have maintained. I don't think she's had maybe quite the rise. I think her rise kind of came before 2009. But does she still is she still an important editorial voice as a lesbian and as a queer person on mainstream until Anderson Cooper decides to come out?
Yeah, you know, Rachel Maddow is just brilliant. She is quirky. She is kind of like, to me, she reminds me of Alison Bechdel, Dykes to Watch Out For characters, where she's got this sense of quirkiness, but she's a brilliant scholar. And so she's got the legs. She's not some she wasn't some thing that happened just for the election. I believe she's going to be around for decades to come as one of our most important voices in the LGBT movement.
So Neil Patrick Harris, I tipped that off, but what a year to have an openly gay man who's not Ellen. Since Ellen can sometimes identify as openly gay male to me. An openly gay male hosts the Tonys brilliantly, then immediately be asked to host the Emmy Awards and host one of the, you know, two of the biggest of the three award shows of the year. Has he finally cracked a big crack in that glass ceiling for gay men in entertainment?
I think he transcends a lot of labels and a lot of identities. I think that more, you know, macho men can like him because of the characters he's played in TV. I think he is a unique situation, almost like Ellen is, however. I think we need more types of gay men coming out than a Neil Patrick Harris type of guy. And I don't mean to say that he's not the be-all and end-all, but unfortunately he could be an exception for a while, kind of similar to some sports figures that come out and they're the lone gun for decades mm-hmm. out there. So I'm hoping that more gay men see Neil Patrick and are inspired to come out in their mainstream careers. Unfortunately, he could be just an exception for a long time to come.
Well, but then we have real hunky Gerard Butler teasing last year that he was bisexual. So the bisexuals even got some representation. I mean, that's a pretty manly man and a pretty, at the apex of his career with mm-hmm. Some pretty big movies, whether it be a comedy with Katherine Heigl, who's extremely hot, or, you know, the legacy of a film like 300, where he mm-hmm. plays like a Spartan god, essentially. Mm-hmm. Is that good that bisexuals still have the voice of a Megan Fox, a hot woman, or a Gerard Butler, which I thought was quite surprising.
Yeah, Gerard, is he American?
No, he's not. Yeah,
it's so weird that sometimes the Europeans get away with that different than someone in the U.S. doing it. So, no, I think it is. It's always important to me to see when role models come out, like Meredith Baxter coming out this week was, oh my God, so that was so American Pie.
America's mom came out.
So, to me, when people like Kelly McGillis and Meredith Baxter, U.S. American idols of these of past generations come out, to me that's far more impactful than Gerard Butler says he might
have
be with
a
men
guy.
Sometimes.
Well, then let's talk about idols. Ellen DeGeneres will be a judge on American Idol. Thoughts on that for the new year?
Ellen DeGeneres with American Idol seems to continue to be this kind of exceptional case of American accepting her despite, mm-hmm. Whatever.
It's kind of un-American to not like Ellen,
right? And so
is what Mitchell always says.
Yeah, and I'm not quite sure why that is, but again, it's an exceptionalism. It's not the norm that's out there, and for me, what I don't like about the whole Glee support and American Idol and other things that are on Fox is that we have all these gay people that are helping Fox make money and they never question it politically. And I would love for Ellen and the people behind Glee and other Fox TV shows to really say, you know what, we're on Fox and we don't support the right-wing things that they're doing and the homophobic things that they're doing, the tea parties and everything like that, but this is our opportunity to be creative. And if they felt that freedom to do that, I would support them a little bit more.
It's kind of a family, though, isn't it? You don't kind of get to, like, divorce from your crotchety uncle or you're stuck in the, you know, Pioneer's Day dad. You know, it kind of feels like, you know, their whole theme is Fox family, and I do kind of feel like it is a reflection of the American family, you know, with the kind of conservative old voice of their news network and then this 7 to 9 o'clock central time really pushing the envelope kind of television mm-hmm. that they seem to be doing. Well, the person who's not been the safe bet in 2009 on Idol is Adam Lambert, the runner-up, who did not win, but I think many thought did win, got the coveted spot for his, you know, first television CD launch with the AMAs, and ended up kissing a guy and causing a controversy here right when the album sales were going to start for him. What kind of year are we going to have for Adam Lambert? And is this just the beginning? I mean, he's already eating crow on Ellen about maybe he went too far.
You know, Adam is so funny to watch because he is so vanilla and loved by straight women. He's one of those gay guys that straight women just find so safe to love. He's almost prepubescent in his looks. He's so safe. And yet when he does these like S&M type things on the awards shows, it's almost like him playing around in the sandbox.
Yep.
Nobody really believes that's Adam, or even if they did, they don't care.
Yep.
He's such a safe artist. I think he has a long, long, long career, and people aren't going to care the things he does. If some reason, again, he gets away with it in a different way than some other artists might.
Yeah. No, I agree, and it will be interesting to see the trajectory of his year. So I think I'm just going to round up with the story of Chaz Bono. Chastity Bono, formerly Sonny and Cher's daughter, we all knew and loved her on television, is this a relevant story? Is it a compelling story for the trans community? What are your thoughts on Chaz Bono and how this story has been revealed, I guess, to the world?
You know, I think Chaz Bono has become a face for a trans movement that hasn't had much of a celebrity-based face. Mm-hmm. You know, in the LGBT movement anyway, we've had a lot of celebrities and such come out over the years. And for the female-to-male trans movement, there really haven't been a lot of high-profile people. So I think it's very important for the trans movement to have that. There are so many things we don't understand about gender identity versus sexual orientation, and I'm sure that there was not an easy decision for him to make.
Yeah.
To be so public about it. So, especially having been so out as a lesbian over the years, someone who's coming out as trans in their early 20s, late teens, doesn't have a long track record in their sexual orientation issues. If they're a celebrity. But Chaz had this long history of being this open lesbian, books about it and all sorts of things.
Well, an open celebrity, then an open lesbian celebrity, now an open trans celebrity. Yeah. I mean, it has been like almost decades of being a celebrity.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was wonderful to see Mary Hart from Entertainment Tonight interview Chaz, and it was so normalized by just Mary Hart's kind of anointing it as a normal story, a normal process. And so I think that alone broke down so many barriers that for years have been trying to be broken down by the trans movement. So there's more to come on that. And I think Chaz, when he writes about it in his own words, is going to be interesting to see. So yeah, I think it was a very important story for the movement.
And you think that the trans community is embracing him? I mean, you're not a part of the specific trans community, obviously, nor am I. I mean, I guess we're just supposing, but have you heard any rumblings?
I haven't heard any negative. When the pregnant dad thing came out, there were lots of negative pushback on that. But I think that the trans movement is probably more diverse and divided than we could ever know not being in it. The arguments I see and the battles I see within that movement, it's kind of like the nascent GL movement of the early 1970s, where they're kind of finding their feet. The definitions and the variables, the man, it's so in flux about what defines the trans movement that, you know, it's kind of hard to even know what one opinion might be. There's so many opinions about what it means to be trans and how fluid the gender identity are.
And Chaz can't represent all of that, you know? He can just be, you know, one facet of that and do it in an authentic, honest way, which is at least how it seems like this has started.
Right.
So it has started a conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, now everybody in the world kind of knows one trans person, at least in a way that I think there are many people who go, I don't know anyone trans.
Right.
Those people. And even though they don't know or didn't know Chastity Bono, they know that family and know that legacy.
Yep.
So, well, it is interesting. We will continue our look at the year in review, looking more at news and world news with the editor of Windy City Times, Andrew Davis, who's also our news editor for the news that you get on every show. So that will be part two of our year in review. But Tracy, thanks so much for talking with me a little bit about entertainment and media in 2009.
Thanks very much.
Got something to say? Call us today, 312-21-BE-GAY.
So, Coleman, it's been a big year in 2009. Do you have a favorite moment for yourself as a GLBT person in 2009?
A favorite moment? Yes, I do, actually. I think, I guess I do. You know, this sounds like such terrible self-promotion, but I had the honor of really, my show, my solo show, A Boy in a Soul, of it really appealing to such diverse audiences. And it was so well-received. And from the press, from the New York community, and I feel very proud of that, and telling our stories in such a different light, so that you know people can find out more about a gay black boy from West Philadelphia, and you know I find that you know I would get like this Upper East Side old Caucasian woman coming to me and telling me that I told her story, which is beautiful, and it's like yeah, our stories are that valid and they are that universal when they're told in such a specific manner.
Yeah,
and I felt very blessed and honored. And I felt like, you know, the support to keep on doing what I'm doing because it's making a difference in the world. And whatever small, you know, it's like whatever small little thing I'm doing artistically is still, I think, something helping us out politically.
Yeah.
And, you know, helping to heal our hearts and just helping us communicate more. And I feel like it's just given me that support that like, hey, I'm on the right path with what I'm doing.
Well, you know, I think it's the timeless thing of the joy of being a voice in gay radio now for a decade has been hearing people get to tell their stories. And the forum in which you tell your story is, you know, on a stage, happens to be an off-Broadway stage, you know, a pretty big stage in New York City. And at time to time, what I feel like I've been able to do and the companies that I've worked for have enabled me to do is to let people tell their stories. So it could be Cheyenne Jackson and you're a big star on the rise, or it could just be, you know, Jane or Joe, gay guy or girl, who are sharing their stories here on the Queercast or on Windy City Radio or on Lesbi Gay Radio over the years. Yeah. So, I mean, I think we are powerful in our storytelling about who we are and about our sexuality and our gender identity through our storytelling. And you did that, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Which is an amazing and powerful thing. Do you have a favorite holiday story? Now, Kelly and I just put in our TiVo, you know, we watched the Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
Which, when you watch Charlie Brown, the older and older you get, don't you just crack up that we heard it such a different way when we were kids? I mean, Charles Schulz, what a genius. How funny was he?
Amazing.
But we've got the Frosty the Snowman, and I'm trying to find the, I think it's like The Year Without Christmas, which is the Mr. Heat Miser.
Heat Miser is amazing. Yeah.
Snow Miser. I heard they're doing some live version of that with like Delta Burke and I don't know.
Yeah. That's weird, really.
It may be coming out this year. Maybe it came out in years past. I don't know. I just saw something online when I was trying to figure out when I could record that. Do you have a favorite holiday or short that you like to watch?
Yeah, I seem to. When I was with my ex-partner, Matt, he would condition me out of watching, you know, like we watch cartoons, but then we move into watching these holiday favorites like Mommy Dearest or The Star, anything that had like a crazy Christmas scene that was about like a really disrupted Christmas and a really kind of awful Christmas. so that became thematic in our home. So,
I like that.
So I will watch Mommy Dearest and I will watch The Star and I will watch, what was the one about the, where Divine wanted cha-cha heels?
Oh dear Lord, I have no idea.
And she doesn't get cha-cha heels for Christmas. So she tears the Christmas tree down and throws it on her dad and gets mad. So I will watch that.
That's hilarious. She'd get her cha-cha heels. I hope you get your cha-cha heels for Christmas.
She throws the Christmas tree down and kills her dad, and then runs out of the house, and then she becomes a prostitute.
Okay, I have to look that one up. I have to ask my old gay boyfriend about that one.
Genius. I can't think of the name
of it. My boyfriend growing up who introduced me to Divine while he worked at the video guy.
If I find it, I will email you and let you know the title because it's a holiday classic.
And we will post that on our blog. Everybody will want to watch Divine have a pitch a fit when she doesn't get her cha-cha heels.
You should do that. If Kelly doesn't get you something that you wanted.
Pick up the tree and throw it. Run out and become a prostitute on North Avenue in Chicago.
Exactly.
That would be great. Oh, my Lord. Well, happy holidays to you and Raul on that note.
That's
a
great segue. Thank you.
Well, here's what I think. I think we should just, our wish to all of you listening is that you get your cha-cha heels this holiday season. So whether you celebrate Hanukkah, which if you do, you have just started, you just were celebrating Hanukkah, started last Friday.
Yes.
Hanukkah or solstice coming up here, Kwanzaa or Christmas, or if you're Mitchell and you're going to celebrate the opening of Nine, which is really all any gay man is celebrating, watching the women in their cha-cha heels.
Oh, one more thing, Amy. Can one more thing. Everyone must see The Princess and the Frog.
Oh.
I just saw it, the new Disney feature with starring one of my dear friends, Anika Noni Rose.
Yep.
It is a phenomenal, phenomenal film, and it's a Christmas treat. So that's on my list of things you should see right now that'll put you in the Christmas spirit. See that, because it's about love and generosity, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, and is that the first time they have an African-American princess?
Yep. First time ever.
Yeah, I saw a trailer for it because we watched Up this past weekend while we wrapped presents, which I had never seen. So I'm very excited to hear that endorsement.
Yeah, so check it out.
And if you're looking for something else, I think I've mentioned this before, but the Goodman Theater production of A Christmas Carol is absolutely gorgeous this year for those of you in the Chicagoland area. It's truly a beautiful production. And I know we all think, we've seen The Christmas Carol, but I have to tell you, this is one of the most amazing productions of A Christmas Carol I've ever seen, directed by openly gay William Brown and starring Larry Ando here in Chicago. It's a pretty gay Christmas Carol. I love it.
Like, what happens? Does somebody come out throwing a bag of dicks? I mean, what happens?
No, that doesn't happen. But there were some cha-cha heels on Scrooge, so it works. It definitely works. Coleman, happy holidays to you and Raul. We look forward to talking to you in the new year, 2010.
Yes, same here. You happy holidays to everyone, and thanks for joining us this year.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.